Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Monday evening. Jason has the day off. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. We have a packed show for you tonight, so let's get straight to it. In the second half of the program, we'll find out all the news about Santa coming to Hurleyville. But first, let's talk about a snowstorm that's coming tomorrow. The winter storm warning is in effect from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow on Tuesday. National Weather Service meteorologist Brian Greenblatt says this is a quick-hitting storm, but still the most impactful one we had so far this winter.
During the morning commute, anywhere between 7 a.m. and especially throughout the mid to late morning hours. Overall, your snow amounts are going to be generally between 6 and 8 inches. Could have some locally higher amounts as well, especially in the higher elevations toward the Catskills. And then during the afternoon tomorrow, the snow starts to wind down from west to east. So it's a pretty quick-hitting storm overall. This would definitely be a lot more significant if this was a longer duration event.
That means you want to plan for slow travel, potential school delays, and extra time getting anywhere Tuesday morning.
If you have to be on the roads, definitely leave some extra time to get to your destination. Make sure you leave plenty of space between you and the car in front of you, and just room to brake, because the roads will be a little bit slippery at times. And just remember to take it slow, so don't rush through the snowfall. This is just the beginning of winter, so more winter to go.
Expect plows out early, reduce visibility, and heavier pockets of snow through the morning hours on December 2nd. We'll keep you updated with advisories and any school closings right here on Radio Catskill. And moving right along, the 2025-26 Home Energy Assistance Program, better known as HEAP, has officially opened today on December 1st. The state had originally planned to launch the program in early November, but the federal government shutdown pushed the date back. Sullivan County Health and Human Services Commissioner John Little says now that the shutdown is over, the county is ready to offer what he calls a lifeline to eligible residents. And if you're looking to apply, the county's HEAP office has actually remained open throughout the delay. So staff are available to answer questions and help with applications. For here in Sullivan County, you can reach them at 845-807-807. 0142 or by email heap@sullivan.gov. In Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania's Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, reach out to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's website or call their hotline at 866-857-7095. And if you already received an early outreach letter, your benefit will be issued automatically. You don't need to reapply. Everyone else can submit an application in New York online at mybenefits.ny.gov or in person at the Department of Social Services. Officials ask that you call ahead before coming in. Paper applications are available through several community partners, including Action Towards Independence, Independent Living, and the Sullivan County Office for the Aging. Eligibility for HEAP depends on several factors: your household income, the number of people living in your home, and your primary heating source, and whether anyone in your household is under 6, over 60, or permanently disabled. This season, qualifying households will receive a one-time benefit between $400 and $996, depending on the heating system they use. An additional emergency HEAP benefit will also help with the second fuel delivery, is expected to open in January. New York State has already set its income limits for the program, and residents can check those details online or by contacting the county. Moving right along here, Ulster County has an exciting new program for veterans. Veterans who are charged with nonviolent crimes now be seen in the Veterans Treatment Court. It's made up of other veterans and volunteers who are especially passionate. Radio Catskill's Annie Bennett spoke to Assistant DA in Ulster County, who has overseen the court's establishment.
My name is Joey Drillings. I am the Chief Assistant Public Defender for the Ulster County Public Defender's Office.
What's your involvement with the Veterans Treatment Court initiative?
I came from Sullivan County, where I was born and raised. And so initially as a prosecutor, I got involved in Sullivan County's Veterans Court. I then came to Ulster County in 2014, and they didn't have a Veterans Court here. And I was kind of shocked because Sullivan County isn't necessarily progressive. So to come to Ulster County, which was on the cutting edge of the world or whatever, I was shocked that they didn't have one. And like I said, at the time I was a prosecutor and I moved over to defense and then worked my way up the ladder here. And one of my contract points was always that if there was a veterans court, that I would be the veterans court person. My father was saved by veterans. I wouldn't be here, literally wouldn't be here if not for the veterans of the United States Army.
Yeah, it sounds like something you're really passionate about.
My father lost his entire family in World War II to the Nazi concentration camps. He actually watched his parents and his brother and sister get loaded on a cattle car and trained to a death camp. So it was only him and his brother that survived. And then he was marching to his own death when General Patton Army Division saved him and his brother, and they became part of that unit. Helped them hunt Nazis when he was over there, and they actually allowed him to come to the United States, and he moved up to the Catskills. So to this day, I've always felt a debt of gratitude to the veterans, to the armed services. In what I do in the thousands and thousands of cases as a prosecutor and a defense attorney, you don't get to see a lot of good people. And all of these people have, whether they've committed crimes and are in this situation, they've all done something definitely great with their lives in being a veteran and fighting for this country. And I feel it's a debt of gratitude to try to help them out as best I can. Many of them have PTSD or alcohol issues from PTSD. I had one guy who got a DWI 2 years in a row on the same date. And when we asked why, he was like, that's the anniversary that his best friend got blown up when they were going back. So everyone has a story.
Yeah. Could you break down sort of what a veterans treatment court is?
Well, about 30 years ago, there was a judge, Judge Russell, I believe was his name, up in Buffalo that started this. And he had a veteran in front of him and seemed like a great guy, but he just wasn't getting the concept of treatment. And so a couple of the court officers were veterans and they took him outside. They talked to him. They discussed it with him. And, you know, it was different when he was being talked to by soldiers, by his peers, than it was when he was being talked to by a judge or people that had no concept of veterans. They seemed to react better when their peers, the main gist of the court, other than the judge, the DA, and myself, everybody else are veterans. The probation officer is a veteran. These are all people from the Veterans Services Administration that work right here in the county. So, you know, and you have me who wants to be there, the judge who adores veterans. So I think they see the love and the respect and it works better for them. I think that, I mean, it's going to sound classist or elitist, but I think that them coming into court with a generic drug dealer or rapist, they felt like it was either beneath them or it wasn't just on a par with what they needed. But coming into court with, if it's a domestic violence case, a DWI case, a drug addiction case, a kleptomaniac, all of these concepts, when you dig deeper, you find are related to the PTSD from the mental health issues about going to war, coming back from war, or coming back from overseas.
Yeah. Were there any concerns about special treatment or any like sort of pushback that you guys had to deal with?
No, because there are rules. It's not for every veteran. We don't take violent cases. So murders, rapes, assaults generally aren't part of veterans court. There's a very long line of questioning and people you meet with and interviews before you get into veterans court. The majority of them are DWIs, drug addiction. I mean, stuff like that. Stuff that generally... The concept is you're trying to help them anyway. You're not just trying to send them to jail or prison. These are people who would be going to treatment, except they get to go to the treatment at the VA. They may have an easier time getting their license back because we work with them with that. The benefit to all of this is that some of these guys don't even realize that they have benefits. And by getting them into the system, they realize that the VA is helpful. So it's actually saving money because normally some of these people would be homeless. No, there's no pushback on special treatment because the special treatment they get, they deserve, but it isn't necessarily like a complete, like you murdered somebody, you're getting off for it. You're getting a DWI, you get an AI instead of, but you work for it. You're going through treatment for a year and a half. So,
and yeah, you mentioned cost. Is this costing anything to the taxpayer?
It doesn't cost anything to the Ulster County taxpayers because I'm getting paid a salary. It's not like we get paid more for doing this. It's just an added bonus or an added part of what we do. The state, they already have a budget for the veterans. So this doesn't really affect it that much. I would say the only thing it affected is it created a job for somebody who we just hired. Now that we have a veterans court, we need an administrator.
Do you see this growing any potentially over the years? Talk about the future of the program.
So we're never going to be an enormous veterans court because we don't have an enormous amount of veterans getting arrested. You know, we have 12 now. I would say that we would go as high as 15 probably. And that's not because we can't do it. It's because we just don't have that many. What this does expand though is because, you know, it's a progression. You have drug court expanded into veterans court. We're hopeful that veterans court expands into a mental health court. Now, drug court isn't just veterans and mental health court isn't just veterans, but the next step from going from drug court to veterans court is to mental health court. But as far as you talk about expansion, I think opening people's minds to one concept then opens them to another.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Are there any opportunities for people or cases in neighboring counties or communities to get anything from this?
You can also work with adjacent counties. Before we had veterans court, we would send people over to Dutchess County and they would be able to supervise them. Like, we had a case where the guy was on probation and he was a resident of Dutchess County, and Dutchess County had a veterans court. So we had him track their veterans court and they would report to us how he was doing. Mental health court hasn't rise to that level yet. I would hope that we can use Greene County if that ever does rise to that level. But yes, neighboring counties do allow adjacent tracking of their courts. We have a lot of cases from Dutchess. We have a lot of cases from Orange where they have their own veterans court. You want them to live and be treated and go to court in their own county.
So you're saying that if somebody committed a crime in Ulster County but was a resident of a neighboring county, you would allow them to go through the court system in that county through the Veterans Treatment Court?
Yes, but we would keep jurisdiction because we knew the case and the case was here.
Right. What was the process like of getting the Veterans Treatment Court established?
This concept, it took about a year and a half of training and red tape wherever that existed. But there was always communication, which was important. You know, we have a booklet as to, you know, almost every concept that exists out there, how many times you can violate, what happens if you violate by getting rearrested versus violate by just relapsing. I mean, there is a booklet that is, you know, 75 pages thick that I never saw the last time I was in veterans court that now exists.
What kind of training? You mentioned training.
There's yearly training in dealing with PTSD, in dealing with trauma, in dealing with alcoholism, and plus you have to deal with multiple, you know, we have 7 people currently active in our veterans court, dealing with all of their separate issues. Judge Russell actually runs the training. He sends out a video and we all, you know, watch the class. And then once a year, everybody meets for training. They have to kind of get back in that veterans court mode of dealing with people and having the right attitude. And even honestly, they give classes on watching your own mental health to make sure that you're healthy to be dealing with the veterans who need help. They do make sure that you're prepared for what you're about to deal with, because a lot of these guys have stories that aren't PG-13. And now that we're certified in being a veterans court, we just had 2 guys graduate on the day of the ribbon cutting ceremony. So I would say we've probably had 12 people so far. We have 7 in and 5 that have graduated. They all got cupcakes and a certificate. So
that's cute. So when you say graduate, you mean like complete the rehab or whatever sort of treatment?
Complete the rehab, stay sober for at least a year without a relapse, get fully vested in the VA system, and basically just straightening out their lives and then getting the benefit of it. We had one guy, Uriel Harris, who plans on being a mentor, which we have been short of because we don't have a lot of people that are through the Veterans Court system. So we need people that have been in the system to come back and be mentors for the people that are coming. But I was born during that era in the late 60s where they would spit and throw things at soldiers because of Vietnam and all of that. And it just seems like another reason why it's wonderful that I get to do this, because, you know, I was a baby. I just heard about those things. And to actually be able to help veterans, it's as a lawyer who deals with the common drudgery of the criminal justice system and dealing with crimes on an everyday basis, it actually is uplifting. But to just be able to help everyone, whether they succeed or they don't, to put them in a better place, it makes my job and my life much better.
All right. Well, thank you so much. From Liberty, I'm Annie Bennett for Radio Catskill.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Come to find out that Santa's coming to Earlyville. Stay tuned.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Support comes from the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, whose 21st annual Small Works group exhibition, Art and Sixes, will be on view from November 15th until December 21st. More information at DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org. And from the Calicoon Theater, an updated vintage movie theater with new film releases, live music, and more. Information and schedule at CalicoonTheater.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
What's really remarkable here is this idea that, yes, we're going to pause a bunch of people from entering the United States, but we're also going to go back and we're going to review people who've already obtained a form of status in the United States. So it's not only prospective, but it's retrospective as well.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
On the next Radiolab.
Out of like 6,000 some species of mammals, they thought we were the only ones.
The medical mystery.
We were just freaks.
Of menopause.
It was assumed that human females were the only species that went through it.
And then scientists learned about
Granny. The matriarch of all matriarchs.
Hunter in chief.
The one in charge.
These females are the repositories for ecological wisdom.
That's on the next Radiolab.
Wednesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
There's a winter storm warning in effect for our listening area from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Travel could be very difficult, and the hazardous conditions will impact the Tuesday morning and evening commutes, with snowfall rates of 1 to 2 inches per hour. Total snow accumulations between 5 and 9 inches. If you must travel, keep an extra flashlight, food, and water in your vehicle in case of emergency. Tonight, partly cloudy skies that'll give way to cloudier skies late, with low near 20. This is Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on a Monday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Roballo. Earlyville Performing Arts Center is gearing up for a full day of festive cheer on Saturday, December 6th, with Breakfast with Santa. And joining us on the phone with us now is Lourdesa Hunt, Director of Development at HPAC, and Christina Antizzo, HPAC's Chief Executive Officer. So they're both here on the program to talk about Breakfast with Santa. Welcome both to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
So Lourdesa, let's start with you. You know, Breakfast with Santa, what can families expect when they walk into HPAC that morning?
Our beautiful ballroom will be completely transformed into a winter wonderland with, Santa ready and waiting. There'll be a beautiful breakfast spread for everyone to enjoy buffet style, along with some activities, crafts, music, fun. And I heard that the Grinch may make an appearance as well.
And now, Christina, this is a full day of programming because it's not only Breakfast with Santa, but in the evening at 6, you have a hosting Faith in Christmas, a holiday concert, and donation drive. I just want to see from you, what is the bigger vision behind creating a full holiday cheer experience in Earlyville?
There is a thing called Holiday in Earlyville that already exists in Earlyville. So the whole town comes together. The tree lighting happens that day. The other businesses participate and have different specials. You know, you'll have specials from Decant, you know, Morgan Outdoors. So there's a lot of businesses that participate. We're a small town, but we all come together and make it, you know, very full of holiday joy. So why not continue from breakfast, where we'll do free photos with Santa afterwards, and then we'll move into Faith in Christmas, as you mentioned, which is a free concert to the community. And we're also, you know, doing a food drive as well to support the Federation for the Homeless.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, Lourdesa, you know, one really sweet touch I see that's happening on Saturday is that parents can arrange for Santa to give their child their own special gift. How does that work? What do parents have to do?
We are very excited about this is something we debuted last year with our Santa breakfast, and it was really so magical to see this for the children. So the parents, if you are interested in doing so, you can contact someone from our staff. Our wonderful Megan will be coordinating this. Contact Megan, and Megan can arrange for you to drop off whatever gift you may like for your child to receive that day. We will lovingly place it there, and we will organize so when your child sits on Santa's lap that day, he has a present just for them underneath the tree.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, Christina, you know, we mentioned a little while ago in the evening, the HPAC is hosting Faith in Christmas, a holiday concert and donation drive. What can you tell us about the holiday concert and the donation drive, and what things are you looking for folks to bring?
The concert is being put on by Faith Kelly. She is a local performer in the county, and she's performed with HPAC several of times. So she is doing kind of her Christmas songs and kind of Christmas story through life. So we're really excited to have her put her story out there and kind of do her performance, and again, free for the community. And as far as what to bring, anything non-perishable, canned goods, if you have gently used jackets, sweaters, scarves, hats, anything like that, we would be more than happy to take and get them over to the Federation for the Homeless.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's going to be a benefit for the Federation for the Homeless in Monticello. That's great. Yeah. Now, this event in the evening is free to attend. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, for the breakfast with Santa, is there a charge for that?
There is a charge. We do try to keep everything low. Oh, sorry about that, Christine. I have these numbers right in front of me, so I'm all ready. The charge for breakfast is $15 for ages 4 and over, and ages 3 and under are $5.
Now, the event runs, I had a question the event runs from 9 to 12. Do you have to be there at 9, or you could come in at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock? Is that still a good time to come in?
Oh, yes, yes. You can come in any time in that period. And I do believe, learning from last year, the food will be served at a certain point. Christina, do you remember that time? Yes, the food will be served from 9:30 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. So anybody can come in between the 9 and make sure that they can always get food up until the 11:30 portion and have time to eat and take photos with Santa up until 12.
That's great. And for families listening right now, what's the best way to purchase tickets for Breakfast with Santa? Can they do it ahead of time, or they could just do it when they come to the HPAC?
So we do recommend doing it ahead of time. Last year we did sell out and we were at max capacity. So we do recommend purchasing online, and we will follow our social because we will let you know in advance if we sell out. And they can purchase tickets on our website, which is hpacny.org.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, looking ahead here, you know, this weekend starts the start of the holiday season with Thanksgiving. What else is going on with HPAC this holiday season?
Oh, we are jam-packed for the holidays this season. In our cinema, we have Zootopia 2 going through 12/14. We have Avatar, Fire and Ice starting up 12/19 and through the end of the year. More fun in our cinemas and some heart as well. We have Real Good Thursdays, and these are some family classics that we are doing. They are $10 a ticket, and each ticket out of that $10, $8 will go to a local charity organization, an organization doing good in the community to combat food insecurity.
So on the 4th, we have the Goonies benefiting the Leadership Sullivan small food pantries around the county. It'll go to fill those up. We have the Never Ending Story on December 11th for the Sullivan Fresh Markets through Cornell Cooperative Extension. And on 12/18, we've got a Christmas story.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome stuff. A nice full-packed holiday season for the family to enjoy.
Yes, absolutely. And a little bit of fun for the adults, too. Mm-hmm. On 12/13, we have a comedy show in conjunction with Corner Store Comedy Troupe in the Tango Cafe. It's $15 for an evening of holiday laughs and an ugly sweater contest, too.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's awesome stuff that all the stuff that HPAC is doing for this holiday season and beyond. So that's good stuff. Rodessa and Christina, anything else we want to mention before we end our conversation?
Yeah, I would like to mention a couple of other events just because mm-hmm. I think that these are really important as well. Is on December 10th, we have our family-friendly sensory movie. We'll be showing Home Alone. And I like to mention that because there are very few cinemas or locations that you can go that are sensory friendly. So we do have that sensory friendly movie on December 10th. We also have a sip and craft, make your own live wreath that is on December 10th as well. And then we do have our senior cinema on December 11th, which is The Man Who Invented Christmas. So we definitely have a slammed packed calendar of different events for the month of December. So everybody should definitely check them out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I, as a person, a father who has a daughter who's sensitive to loud sounds, having a sensory-friendly experience movie, it's a great thing. Thank you so much for doing that. So,
yeah, we do them every month. So definitely follow us. So anytime that you guys are able to join us, we would love to have you.
That's awesome. We were talking to Christina and Lourdesa from the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center, HPAC, about a full day of holiday cheer that's coming up on Saturday, December 6th, starting off with Breakfast with Santa, all the way to the evening with Faith in Christmas Concert and Donation Drive. You can find tickets and registration and more details at hpacny.org. Christina and Lourdesa, thank you so much for talking to us. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that does it for The Local Edition. Thank you so much for joining me on this Monday evening. Tune in tomorrow to The Local Edition. We're going to have a special Kingfisher project. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and that's when Bill Williams takes over for The Local Edition. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Also, stay tuned to Radio Catskill and also Radio Catskill's website, radiocatskill.org. Latest updates on the winter storm that's looking to hit us early tomorrow morning. Stay tuned. Check out our website. Stay tuned on the radio. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, stay tuned, and I'll talk to you soon.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you, who donate at wjffradio.org.
The need is growing. More families in our community are struggling to put food on the table. Local food pantries are on the front lines, but they need help. You can make a difference by donating non-perishable food, personal care items, and baby supplies, or by volunteering to support and distribute these donations. It's about nourishing our neighbors. Visit WJFFradio.org for info to help ensure everyone in our community has enough to eat. Radio Catskill, keeping our neighbors connected.
This week on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we'll hear the exotic sounds of vibraphonist Mark Riddle, Mr. Howley, and Tiki Vibes, plus the bongos, flutes, and guitars of Los Admiradores. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music is always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour, Wednesday night at 7, here on Radio Catskill.
I'm Sabrina Artel. Join me for conversations with all kinds of people in the studio, on the street, and the kitchen table of my vintage travel trailer. That's Trailer Talk, Monday night at 7:30 on Radio Catskill.